I can't believe we're having this conversation again. So here we go. You know who the candidates are. You know what's at stake. One candidate promises a divided America filled with lies and hate. And one stands for change. Kamala Harris has more courage, more honor, more guts than this guy ever had. So you decide, are we really going back down that same broken road, or are we moving forward towards hope, towards freedom, towards change?
We know a strong middle class has always been critical to America's success.
There's promise that lies in change, and the time for change is now. So what the hell are you waiting for? Because if it's the woman thing, it's time to get over that. It's time for hope, for change. It's time to be a man and vote for a woman.
Such language. My ears are hurting.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No,
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Scared?
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
Maybe a little scared.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Hey, I am from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. This is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. Also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets and the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman. Your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow just counting the days from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm not sure if I'm counting them because I'm excited about them or because I'm terrified of them, Desi Doyen.
Why not both?
There you go. I'm excited and terrified. So you're probably going to feel right at home here today. Before we get to the real business, however, since we're in Los Angeles, I do have to just take a moment here at the top of the show to gloat about the fact that our Dodgers won the World Series on Wednesday night against the Yankees in a thrilling Game 5 in New York, my old home state at one point, where the Dodgers actually came back after trailing 5-0. But since this is a largely a political show, and since nobody, and I mean nobody, knows who is going to win the presidential election in a few days, I thought I would test one of the AI chatbots, Desi Doyen, to see if something that I remembered from my childhood was actually still correct. Whether the winner of the World Series might hold any clues for us, since I thought I remembered from years ago something about a correlation between a National League team like the Dodgers winning the World Series and a Democrat winning the White House in presidential years. So I asked AI, Microsoft's co-pilot chatbot, about this, which told me, either correctly or incorrectly, I don't know, it's AI, so we'll just go with it, yes, in fact, there has been a historical trend suggesting a correlation between the World Series winner and the presidential election outcome. from 1952 to 1976, the AI tells me, if an American League team won the World Series in a presidential election year, then a Republican won the election. If a National League team won, a Democrat won the election. So that might seem to be good news. That pattern apparently held true for seven straight elections, but it ended in 1980 when the Philadelphia Phillies from the National League won the World Series and Ronald Reagan, a Republican, won the presidential election that year.
That was the only time, so in that
list. It was the only time between 1952 and 1980. Since then, the pattern has been less consistent, apparently. For example, in 2008, the Phillies, National League, won the World Series, and Barack Obama, a Democrat, won the presidential election. But in 2016, the Chicago Cubs, a National League team, won the World Series, but Donald Trump, a Republican, won the presidential election. So apparently it's interesting, but not a reliable predictor. But then you mentioned when I told you about this that,
yes.
Well, hey, maybe
Trump did not win the popular
the
vote.
Maybe it correlates with
so
the popular
technically,
vote.
Technically, Hillary Clinton won.
And at that point, the apparently Microsoft's chatbot kind of broke. It didn't know what to do. It agreed that, yes, in fact, Hillary Clinton won that year. And I said, is there a correlation between that, the popular vote, and the a Democrat and a National League team winning? It seems like it just didn't know. So in any event, the lesson from all of this, Des, well, apparently, artificial intelligence can tell us just about as much as the polling averages do these days.
In other words, nothing?
Which is to say nothing at all. Yeah, we don't know. The polls may be right. The World Series winner may be predicting correctly. We don't know. We should all assume, however, that the polls are right. The polls which are saying that this race is going to be incredibly close. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but we should assume that is the case. Now, at this point in elections, you know, pollsters who make their bones over the next couple of years by citing their own record in the last election, calling out, you know, their final poll from the last election to show how accurate they were. So none of these pollsters really want to stick their necks out. They all kind of want to stay along the same lines as everyone else. So we'll see. Don't know if those polls are accurate or not, or if it's just the pollsters trying to cover their rear end. But for now, I think it's a good idea to assume this is going to be a very close race. As the battleground state pre-election polling in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, the battleground states are all telling us that it is virtually tied in all seven of them. And with that in mind, there's been a lot of chatter over the past few days among election experts and folks who consider themselves to be about what sort of schemes that Republicans are cooking up this time to steal the election from Democrats if, as in 2020, they lose again, particularly if, like 2020, it is a narrow loss. Now, there are all sorts of schemes and speculation about how they will use various vulnerabilities in the not always well-defined Electoral College process to throw the election to the House of Representatives to be decided there as per the U.S. Constitution and the Electoral Count Reform Act by a vote of House delegations, which, even if Democrats succeed in taking back the majority in the House, Republicans will probably still hold a majority of House delegations, which is how a president would be decided by the House if, in fact, it is thrown to them. If, in fact, there is no winner in the Electoral College one way or another because either there was a tie or some state got its certification delayed for some reason. So there's a lot of speculation about that. There is a lot of reason to believe that Republicans are coming up with schemes to game the system if, in fact, they lose. though certain provisions of the Electoral College Reform Act, which was adopted after the 2020 election, may make such schemes a bit more difficult. And of course, the ace in the hole for any and all such legal chicanery is the fact that Donald Trump owns a corrupted, packed, stacked, stolen, far-right U.S. Supreme Court majority, which has already shown themselves repeatedly to be willing to toss out all precedent, all rule of law, and even the Constitution itself to issue rulings that favor Donald Trump. So, as I've been warning for months now, we've got a very bumpy road ahead in the next few days, even after Election Day, and even in the best of circumstances where the American electorate stands up and pushes back against Trumpian fascism at the polls. In the best case scenario, I think we'll be delving into the weeds of all of the stuff that I quickly summarized above. That's the best case scenario, because in that situation, Trump will have lost at the polls, but he and Republicans will be trying to claim that it was stolen from them somehow as their justification for actually trying to steal the election from the American people, as Donald Trump did back in 2020. So you need to know that's coming. If, in fact, Kamala Harris is declared the winner. But a first step on that road will be old-fashioned claims that the polls, the election was rigged, that unlawful people voted in droves, and massive voter fraud was being carried out by Democrats. So I kind of want to speak to some of those issues today so that you are better prepared when and if that phase of the election, these false claims, when they happen, and I believe that they will, because they're already being made by Republicans.
Yeah, sort of a pre-bunking.
There you go. To sort of acclimate you to where this is all going so that you're able to speak to it. Now, that said, knowledge of how so-called voter fraud actually works and actually happens and or doesn't, knowing that, understanding that, may help you to understand what is and isn't reality as the gaslighting gets underway in full on social media, in mainstream corporate media, and elsewhere in the coming days, as I expect it may. So, for example, let's start here. A 50-year-old woman, Danielle Christine Miller of Itasca County, was charged this week in Minnesota with three felony counts of voter fraud after authorities say she forged her dead mother's signature on an absentee ballot to vote for, yes, Donald Trump. As I noted, she shared the same address with her mom, who died in August, according to a probable cause statement. The Itasca County Auditor's Office had mailed absentee ballots out in September. Upon receiving her late mother's ballot, the office notified local law enforcement to investigate and verify the signatures on those ballots. According to court documents, quote, the defendant admitted her deceased mother was an avid Donald Trump supporter and had wanted to vote for Donald Trump in this election, but had passed shortly before the absentee ballots were received. So, yeah, she just voted for her mom, who had died, and by the way, which is a crime. Miller also allegedly admitted to filling out her own absentee ballot and signing her mother's signature on it as a witness. In Minnesota, I believe that two other people must sign onto an absentee ballot as a witness. And now a court date is scheduled for this woman in December. In Minnesota, casting an illegal vote or intentionally falsely signing an absentee ballot is punishable by 5 years in prison, a $10,000 fine, or both. And yeah, that is how actual voter fraud generally works. Someone used a deceased family member's ballot that might have been sent in error to them, or they died as it was, you know, coming on its way out. And so they vote for them on that one ballot, as we have seen quite a bit of that, this sort of retail voter fraud since 2020. We've seen cases where, you know, someone may, for example, own two different homes in two different states, and either they believe they're entitled to vote in both states, or they know they aren't, but they do it anyway, and they usually end up getting caught. We've seen a dozen or so instances of that in the 4 years since 2020. And by the way, almost all of those cases have been Republicans. Retail fraud, isolated instances, fairly easily discovered and prosecuted, and of course, very difficult to actually affect all but the smallest and closest elections. Certainly not enough of it to reverse the results, even of the closest presidential elections, like the just over 10,000 vote margin that Joe Biden won over Donald Trump in 2020 in states like Arizona and Georgia. I mean, there were half a dozen or so such cases of double voting by people with houses in two different states discovered in Arizona after 2020, and less than a dozen so-called dead voters in Georgia that same year.
Yeah, I mean, the system, and the point of this is that the system did catch them. The many security checks caught these people.
Yeah.
And just got to point out, trying to steal an election by individually impersonating a voter is the dumbest possible way you could possibly try to steal an election. Like you say, the numbers, you just can't get the numbers you
need.
Well,
small gain, huge risk,
yeah.
Basically. Now, larger schemes with more possibility of actually affecting the result of an election are usually not voter fraud at all. They're not fraud that's committed by actual voters. But it's election fraud, where partisan operatives, for example, are trying to game the system, like in a U.S. House race in North Carolina back in, I think it was 2018, when a GOP operative there, paid for by a U.S. House candidate, actually went around collecting ballots from absentee voters, instructing them to not seal the security envelope and, you know, actually changed the votes on the ballots or simply didn't send them into the county at all. In that case, which is very rare, the election was nullified. The whole thing, the scheme was discovered, the election was nullified, a new election was then held some months later. But as I say, that sort of thing is very rare and, yes, easily discovered. Here's another, more recent case, which came to light over the summer, as reported by the Rupert Murdoch-owned New York Post, of all outlets. A scheming crew in New York, as they described it, submitted nearly two dozen fraudulent absentee ballots to boost a candidate during a 2023 city council primary, including the would-be politician's daughter. Fortunately, they got caught, which is a credit to New York's voting system, as most of these cases, they get caught. Six people who had worked as volunteers for candidate Yu-Ching James Pai allegedly concocted a plan to boost him in his run for his party's nomination to represent District 20 in Flushing, a city council race. Pai's 19-year-old daughter was indicted on voter fraud charges alongside five others who participated in this scheme. Prosecutors say that between March and June of 23, this was last year, each person visited the city's Board of Elections office in Queens to pick up absentee ballots for other registered voters. But those voters didn't know anything about it, and the district attorney launched an investigation after one of them was actually turned away from their local polling spot in Flushing after being told that they had already voted. Oops. The real voter went to vote, and that triggered an investigation into the whole scheme because that person knew that they had not voted. And that was with only about two dozen ballots requested and received and cast in this race. These six fraudsters were charged with a litany of crimes, including criminal possession of a forged instrument, falsifying business records, and illegal voting. They pleaded not guilty, but if they are convicted, they could spend up to 7 years in prison. And that, of course, is why most people, particularly, by the way, non-citizens, undocumented immigrants, as Donald Trump and Republicans have been pretending this year, most people do not waste their time trying to commit voter fraud to cast one vote that, if discovered, and it's quite easy to discover, that would get them booted from the country. Did I mention that Pai, in this case, in New York, is a Republican who was running for his party's nomination in the primary in that summer? Well, he won the GOP primary that year by far more than could possibly have been carried out via fraud. And though he won the Republican primary that summer, he was then soundly beaten in the general election several months later by the Democratic candidate, who doubled the amount that Pai had pulled in. As the Republican candidate succeeded in the bargain in perhaps helping to send his own 19-year-old daughter to prison, along with himself in this petty, failed election fraud scheme to essentially, you know, steal a couple of dozen votes out of thousands that were cast in the race. From August of this year, four voters allegedly voted twice in the primary elections in Macomb County, Michigan. The fact that the problems were promptly flagged should reassure Michigan voters, according to the Michigan Bridge outlet, rather than worry them. That, according to officials, it's a sign that the state systems are secure enough to stop or at least catch when voters try to cast two votes or when they try to vote twice. And it's further evidence that widespread fraud is unlikely in the state. In Michigan, voting twice is a felony, and documented instances of voters casting more than one ballot are exceedingly rare. An audit back in 2022 by the state auditor general found that of the more than 11.7 million votes cast in the state over several elections, 99.99% were not duplicates, which is to say, almost every single one of them. That is due in no small part to the safeguards that are in place across the election process to prevent voters from casting more than one ballot or to catch them if they do. And these are processes that are in place in states all over the country. In this case, in Michigan, a battleground state, in most cases, voters who try to cast two ballots are stopped at their polling place when the electronic poll books, the computers that are used to check in voters, flag that a voter has already returned an absentee ballot. And that's what happened in this case, where these four voters had already cast an absentee ballot and then showed up at the polls trying to vote. But if the e-poll book shows that a voter was issued an absentee ballot in Michigan but hadn't yet returned it, poll workers arrange to void the absentee ballot before allowing the voter to cast a ballot in person. It's very rare when double votes actually get through. It's usually a matter of timing, according to the Michigan Bridge. An in-person vote gets cast before a clerk has the opportunity to mark an absentee ballot as having been returned. If a voter casts a ballot in person before their absentee ballot is processed, the inspector processing the absentee ballot would be notified of the potential double vote. And that's what happened during the primary election this year in Macomb County. The clerk said that a poll worker actually overrode the system for some reason to allow the second ballots through. But that was easily discovered. It's not clear if the alleged double votes were intended to be fraudulent or if it was just a mistake, because that also happens. People can't remember if they voted or not on their absentee ballot. Yeah, that's a thing. Or, you know, if they did vote, but they're not sure if their ballot arrived. So they go to the polls to make sure. Others may try to do it to either test the system, which we've seen a fair amount of with Republican voters doing that in recent years. And then they get charged for doing so, or they're simply trying to commit fraud out and out, and they often get caught. St. Clair Shores clerk Abby Barrett said that her team found the four instances of double voting in two ways. They caught them on reports printed out from the qualified voter file, as well as the paper trail showing the alleged double voters had signed an absentee ballot envelope and an in-person application at a polling place. So, again, a really dumb way to commit fraud because you're actually putting your name on it. You're signing the absentee ballot, and then you're signing the poll books. When the prosecutions were made public, the Macomb County clerk said that in his 4 years as the clerk, that this was the first instance of potential double voting that he knew of. In fact, there were 13,146 votes cast in the August primary at St. Clair Shores. The four fraudulent voters did not affect the results. Last week, Colorado election officials said that they thwarted an effort to fraudulently cast votes on a batch of stolen mail ballots in Mesa County. Yes, if Mesa County sounds familiar in Colorado, that is the very Republican county where, you may recall, their former county clerk, Tina Peters, was recently sentenced to 9 years in jail on felony charges related to helping her MAGA friends break into voting systems in the middle of the night, copying their proprietary software on the machines and distributing it across the internet in a scheme that has real election and cybersecurity experts very concerned, along with the other similar breaches of voting systems by insiders directed by Donald Trump affiliates in places like Coffee County, Georgia, following the 2020 election, as we've discussed quite a bit on this program. That sort of crime, that sort of fraud is a real concern. But these, small, like I say, retail voter fraud is not really a big concern. It is easily caught, despite the fact that you will see this now on MAGA media like Twitter, showing these various stories as instances of, aha, look, our election system is rigged. The scheme in Mesa County made public last week regarding stolen mail ballots was blocked through the state's voter signature verification process. It checks the signatures on mail ballots against the signatures that the state has on file for each voter. If the signatures do not match, election officials then reach out to the voter to offer them an opportunity to remedy the situation, to come into the office or other means to essentially cure the ballots, a process called curing. They might say, hey, your signature doesn't match. Come on in and show us your ID. Show us that this is, in fact, your ballot, your signature, and so forth.
And that can be a normal thing. People's signatures do change over time.
Yes, they do. When election officials recently reached out to a group of voters to help them cure signature problems with their ballots, well, the voter informed the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder's Office that, wait, they hadn't voted. And that triggered an investigation and led to the discovery of a dozen stolen and fraudulently cast ballots that were apparently taken out of their mailboxes, because they all lived in a similar area. They were taken out of the mailboxes and somebody voted on them, and that voting was prevented from going through. Matt Crane, who leads the Colorado County Election County Clerks Association, said this shows the resiliency of our process here in Colorado, that if somebody tries to do nefarious things, it will be discovered through our processes. Crane said this is the first time in his roughly 25 years of election administration that he has seen a situation like this. In a written statement, the Mesa County clerk, a Republican, the one who replaced the criminal Tina Peters, who was also a Republican, she asked for patience, saying that they would, quote, share more information when it is responsible to do so. Because, quote, prematurely releasing details about this could compromise our ability to hold those responsible accountable. She did not say who those ballots had been cast for in this very Republican county, although I would note the fact that she didn't say might also kind of tell the story here. Yeah. So these schemes, large or small, ballot by ballot, do not generally affect the result of any election, much less a presidential election held in 50 states, despite GOP claims this year and in previous years to the contrary. And as you may have noticed, most of these cases are carried out by, yes, Republicans. Now, it was not always this way. It was not always Republicans who did this. It used to be in, I don't know, the first 5 or 10 years of my coverage of these matters, going back, you know, some 20 years now, it used to be sort of about half and half, Republicans and Democrats. In recent years, however, I got to tell you, it has been almost exclusively Republican attempts to game the system. We also tend to see a lot of Republican elected officials or candidates who, for example, claim to live in one jurisdiction to make themselves eligible for the office in question, but actually live somewhere else entirely. That happens in races big and small, and yes, are more often than not in recent years, Republicans doing that. So that's what voter fraud and election fraud tends to look like. Retail operations that affect a few votes and are in most cases pretty easily caught, discovered, and the bad guys are brought to justice. But I expect that we're going to hear about more such cases in the days ahead, and that Republicans will cite them as evidence of massive fraud and that the election should be overturned. At least in the event of Trump losing in the presidential election. They will use issues like this. So I kind of just wanted to acclimate you to, to what we can expect in the days ahead when you start hearing reports across social media and so forth about a fraud here, fraud there. We'll see if they end up turning out to be true. Sometimes they are completely fraudulent claims of fraud. But when there is very real fraud, sure, that does happen. But it's usually, like I say, a vote here, a vote there that has little, if any, possibility of affecting something like a presidential election.
Yeah, and just want to remember that Texas often, and some of these other states, Texas definitely has a habit of announcing allegations of fraud.
Yes.
And then, you know, weeks or months later when the investigation itself concludes, you find out there wasn't actually any, but they get the big splashy headline out of it.
Yep. And of course, it runs on Fox News. Now it
yes.
runs on Elon Musk's X.
And gets amplified.
Exactly. What Republicans pretend happens, massive voter fraud carried out by Democrats, but somehow never actually discovered by anyone, as they still claim to be the case somehow in 2020, despite years of seeking evidence of these crimes, and they can come up with evidence for none of it. Well, you know, what they pretend happens, well, that's something else entirely. This year, it's claims of massive numbers of non-citizens who are voting, which you will be shocked to learn also does not happen, particularly given that if a non-citizen, as I noted, is caught trying to cast one single unlawful vote, they will be jailed, they will be fined, they will be deported back to their home country. It's impossible to imagine someone going through the extraordinary efforts to get here only to cast one single vote in an election that would end the possibility of them ever being able to gain citizenship in this country. And yet that is what Donald Trump is out there claiming. That is what Elon Musk is out there claiming, that, oh, now we're up to, by the way, 30 million people have come in over the past 4 years under the Biden-Harris administration.
Oh, man. Pretty soon it's going to be $11 billion, I tell you.
Well, that's right. And the reason they have been brought in is because they were shipped specifically to battleground states, given citizenship, and allowed to vote in this coming election, none of which is true. But yeah, making those false claims, as Republicans have been doing this year, from Trump to Musk all the way down to the state level, has been at the forefront of this year's collection of false fraud claims. And we will pick up on some of that. And if we have time for another old fraudulent voter fraud chestnut that's making the rounds again this year, thanks to folks like Trump and Musk and Joe Rogan on his dumb podcast. We'll try to get to all of that and Desi Doyen's latest Green News report.
Yep.
With some dark news. All of that is straight ahead today on the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Welcome back to the Bradcast Under Pressure. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Back in mid-September, in the great battleground state of Arizona, amid a flurry of lawsuits that Republicans were filing around the country at the time, mostly in battleground states, but others as well, charging that thousands of non-citizens were on the voting rolls in those states, and the Republicans were demanding purges of these suspect non-citizens on the rolls, despite a lack of evidence that any of them had actually ever voted, or even that they actually were non-citizens who might have been added to the rolls, for example, by mistake at a social services office or something. The state discovered, Arizona, that there were some 98,000 voters on the rolls in Arizona who, thanks to a glitch in the state's voter database, had actually marked those voters as if they had provided proof of citizenship when, in fact, they had not. Now, this was due to a glitch involving people who had received their driver's licenses before 1996, before there even was a proof of citizenship law in Arizona for people who registered in the state. That wasn't put in place until 2004. Arizona, by the way, is the only state that requires such documentary proof. And when those registered voters who had licenses from before 1996 went to update their licenses, the database had falsely recorded them as having supplied proof of citizenship when, in fact, they actually hadn't. Now, there was no evidence that any of them were actually non-citizen voters, but the Democratic Secretary of State in Arizona, Adrian Fontes, when this was discovered, he essentially went to the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, for an advisory ruling on how to proceed with those voters, charging that, he would have to purge them all at the last minute, right before absentee voting started, by state law, even if he actually didn't want to, but that he kind of had to now that this problem with the database, I think it was in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, the largest county, once that had been discovered. Now, in that case, the Democratic Secretary of State goes to the U.S., essentially sues to remove these voters, even though he didn't want to. And in that case, the Arizona State Republican Party and the Republican National Committee, the RNC, they both joined the case to oppose the Secretary of State in that lawsuit from purging those voters. They wanted those potential non-citizen voters to stay on the rolls. They claimed in their argument to the court it was too late under the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, a federal law, too late to systematically purge the voter rolls, which is not allowed under that law within the 90-day so-called quiet period before an election day. So why would Republicans, who have been suing all over the country to purge voting rolls under claims that non-citizens were on those rolls, why would they want to do that? Why would they oppose it? Well, the Democratic Secretary of State pointed out in his lawsuit that the majority of those voters that would be purged were, in fact, Republicans. Thus, the Republican Party put forward a very strong argument that it would be an outrage, that it would be in violation of federal law to do a systematic purge of the rolls this close to an election. The Arizona Supreme Court agreed with them. They were right. And the voters, many of whom had, by the way, been registered for registered and voting in the state for decades, they were allowed to stay on the rolls for this year's elections, in which where Republicans are, by the way, facing the loss of majority control of both chambers of the state legislature this year if just one single seat is flipped in each. Not to mention, of course, the presidential and Senate races, et cetera. So we reported on that story at the time, but it immediately came to mind on Wednesday of this week when, as AP reported, the U.S. Supreme Court's so-called conservative majority on Wednesday left in place Virginia's purge of voter registrations that the Republican-controlled state says is aimed at stopping people who are not U.S. citizens from voting. One Virginian whose registration was canceled despite living in the state her entire life, canceled under this purge, well, she called the purge, quote, a very bad October surprise, I bet. The high court, over the dissents of the three liberal justices on the court, granted an emergency appeal from Virginia's Republican administration led by Governor Glenn Youngkin. The court provided no rationale for its action, which is typical in emergency repeals on the so-called shadow docket. The justices acted on Virginia's appeal after a lower court federal judge had found that the state illegally purged more than 1,600 voter registrations in the past 2 months, and after a federal appeals court had allowed the judge's order to remain in effect. Now, such voting by non-citizens is incredibly rare, but the entirely false and evidence-free specter of immigrants voting illegally this year has been a main part of the political messaging from the former President Donald Trump and other Republicans, notes AP. Trump criticized the earlier rulings by the lower court to undo this purge. Trump called it, quote, a totally unacceptable travesty. Only U.S. citizens should be allowed to vote, Trump wrote on social media. Interestingly, he had much less to say about when 98,000 potential non-citizens in Arizona were allowed to stay on the rolls this year as Republicans had insisted upon. See how this works? The Justice Department and a coalition of private groups sued the state of Virginia earlier in October, arguing that Virginia election officials acting on an executive order issued in August by Youngkin were striking names from voter rolls in violation of federal election law. You know, the very same federal election law that Republicans had cited themselves in Arizona when they successfully challenged the removal of voters in that state last month. Based on the fact that it happened during that 90-day quiet period ahead of elections, which is meant to assure that legitimate voters are not removed from the rolls by bureaucratic errors or last-minute mistakes that cannot easily be changed or challenged in time for the election.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder how many other U.S. citizens were caught up in Youngkin's purge. But, you know, hey, he got his big headlines.
Youngkin issued his order on August 7, the 90th day before the election. It required daily checks of data from the Department of Motor Vehicles against voter rolls to identify people who are not U.S. citizens or who are, or at least are thought to not be U.S. citizens. U.S. District Judge Patricia Giles said elections officials still could remove names on an individual basis, but not through a systematic purge as per federal laws. So in other words, if there really was evidence that a specific person was unlawfully registered as a non-citizen, they could still be removed from the rolls. You just can't remove a whole bunch of folks systematically in one fell swoop during that 90-day quiet period. You can't say that, well, anyone who didn't check the right box has to be removed. especially given the fact that court records indicated that at least some of those whose registrations have been flagged and who have been removed from the rolls are, in fact, U.S. citizens. Judge Giles had ordered the state last week to notify the affected voters of this purge and the local registrars that the registrations had actually been restored. So Youngkin took that matter to the U.S. Supreme Court, which on Wednesday overturned the lower court without giving any reason, even though it is clearly in violation of federal law. Even though Republicans argued as much in the Arizona case, but here, yeah, you know. And even though the Supreme Court themselves have long cited something called, and we've talked about it on the show, the Purcell Principle, which is supposed to prevent last-minute changes to election laws, to voting rules or registration rolls, etc., before an election in order to prevent chaos or confusion in the election. Even if, by the way, making changes to the law might enfranchise people. You're not supposed to do that right before an election. That's the Purcell Principle. It's too late. Of course, that Purcell Principle has been applied by this particular U.S. Supreme Court, this right-wing Supreme Court in recent years, on a very selective basis, whenever they want to.
Yep.
And it's ignored whenever they feel like it, as in this case, which is obviously not only within the 90-day quiet period, but also within the Purcell Principle period, where lawfully registered voters absolutely will be purged from the rolls in Virginia. The systematic part here, where voters who may have accidentally checked the wrong box about their citizenship on their registration, or who forgot to check it at all, etc., those sorts of people are going to be purged. Now, the good-ish news is that Virginia's deadline to register to vote has already passed. It was October 15, but since 2022, the state has allowed same-day registration. So that will allow people to register to vote in person, and in those cases, they'll immediately submit a provisional ballot after the deadline to register has passed. That is good, however. It assumes that those provisional ballots will actually be counted, and it also assumes that the voters in question are even able to vote in person. They have to be, if they were absentee voters, well, I guess they are SOL. In a similar lawsuit, by the way, in Alabama, a federal judge this month ordered the state to restore eligibility for more than 3,200 voters who had been deemed ineligible non-citizens. Testimony from state officials in that case showed that roughly 2,000 so far of the 3,251 voters who were made inactive were actually legally registered citizens. I know you're shocked, aren't you? But, you know, it's Alabama, mostly Republican, I guess. So I don't know if they appealed that on up to the Supreme Court or not. But in case you didn't already know, let this be your tip that anything that that gets to Trump's activists at the U.S. Supreme Court, the activist corrupt far right Supreme Court this year, no matter how absurd it may seem, anything that gets to them, anything that the Republicans can manage to get up there, no matter how absurd and insane it may seem, based on actual facts and stuff, well, it has a very good chance of being approved by this corrupted court if, in fact, it might help benefit Donald Trump. We are not in 2020 anymore, Toto. Just wanted to let you know that days before elections, when the election is already underway, but days before election day,
the final day to vote,
after which, depending on how it works out, a lot of this could come into play. So again, hoping to acclimate you to the fake fraud storm that may be coming as soon as next week. As to the real storms, well, for that, we've got Desi Doyen, unfortunately, and yes. Our latest Green News report. That is straight ahead on today's broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Hey, this is Brad. Here at the Bradcast and bradblog.com, we fight for election integrity all year around, like no other media outlet in the nation. But of course, we need your help to help us remain on your public airwaves and completely independent. Please help us continue that fight over your public airwaves by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. And thanks. Okay, people, let's get out there this weekend and save the world,
save the nation,
save actually the entire planet Earth, as Desi discusses in our latest Green News Report.
Tonight, Spain hammered by catastrophic flash flooding.
Spain careens from extreme drought to extreme rain and flooding. The toll of climate change on public health is rising, along with global temperatures, study finds. Plus,
what happens with this election is going to be really big for what happens at the big international negotiation on climate.
The world holds its breath to see if the U.S. will be a global climate leader or villain.
All of those cliffhangers and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
If Trump wins, to be honest with you, the struggle against climate change is over.
And to be honest with you, I've got nothing snarky to add to that. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, the videos that I have seen out of Spain are just terrifying.
Yes, just devastating climate impacts here. In Spain's drought-stricken Valencia region, relief turned to horror and tragedy as torrential storms dumped as much as 2 feet of rain in mere hours, unleashing towering flash floods that swept away cars and homes and demolished a major bridge.
As Florida meteorologist Jeff Berardelli said on Twitter, welcome to the future.
Yes, at least 95 are dead as we go to air. Dozens still missing. Numerous studies show that human-caused climate change is increasing the frequency and severity of both drought and extreme rainfall events. Spain's tragedy underscores scientists' warnings that 20th century infrastructure was not designed for 21st century climate extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change's toll on public health is also increasing, along with global temperatures. According to the Lancet Medical Journal's annual report, more people than ever around the world are facing dangerous heat, extreme storms, food insecurity, infectious diseases, and other threats intensified by climate change. Extreme heat events in particular. Humanity last year was exposed to an average of 50 more days of extreme heat than in the 1990s. Which drove heat-related deaths to new record highs, especially for people over age 65. The Lancet report recommends rapidly phasing out fossil fuel investments and government subsidies and expanding funding for renewable energy and other actions to protect public health, particularly in developing countries.
I think the people in this country, maybe around the world, have no idea just how bad this is going to be.
Unfortunately, the concentration of planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions in the atmosphere reached record levels last year, according to a new study by the World Meteorological Organization. While the growth rate of global emissions has slowed down over the last decade, carbon dioxide and other pollutants in the atmosphere are accumulating faster than at any other time in human existence, driven by humanity's, quote, stubbornly high burning of fossil fuels. It's among a handful of new assessments released in advance of the next round of UN climate treaty negotiations set to begin in a few weeks in Azerbaijan.
The petrostate of Azerbaijan?
Yes. The reports confirm that existing national pledges to cut greenhouse gas emissions under the Paris Agreement still fall far short of what is necessary to limit catastrophic global warming. Here in the U.S., we are in the waning days of the critical 2024 election, critical not just for climate policy and action in America, but for the world. Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris has said she will expand on President Biden's landmark policies and laws, expand clean energy, and much more. Republican former President Donald Trump calls climate change a scam, and if elected, pledges to dismantle U.S. climate policy and withdraw from the Paris Agreement again and block re-entry, which experts say would deeply undermine global efforts. As UC Berkeley climate policy expert Dr. Leah Stokes tells CNN, across the world, all eyes are on America.
What happens with this election is going to be really big for what happens at the big international negotiation on climate. And I think everybody is waiting to see, you know, if the United States is still going to be in and still going to be a partner in climate action globally.
Waiting with bated breath.
Independent U.S. Senator and climate champ Bernie Sanders underscored the impact of the U.S. election on the world and the future.
If the United States, the largest economy in the world, stops transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel, every other country, China, Europe, all over the world, they will do exactly the same thing. And God only knows the kind of planet we will leave to our kids and future generations.
God only knows. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
So let's do it, do it.
Yeah, we better get this one right.
Yes.
By the way, quick update here on the flash flooding in the Valencia region in Spain that you covered at the top of the Green News Report there.
Yes.
Death toll was 95. It has now just jumped up to more than 150. I think 158 was the last number that I saw in that horrific flooding in a major metropolitan area, by the way.
Yeah, there were videos that showed the water coming up within minutes from nowhere to up to your knees, up to your waist in 3 minutes or so. So be careful out there, folks, when it comes to these heavy rainstorms.
Indeed. Welcome to the future, as Berardelli said. All right, we have got to get out here. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. It is always an honor and greatly appreciated. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it all for free, always at bradblog.com. Please consider hitting one of those donate buttons when you stop by, or go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us stay on your public airwaves at least for a few more weeks. Bradblog.com/donate. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, I am The Brad Blog. We'll see you there. Until we see you here next time, let's get it right, folks. Go vote, America, and good luck, world.